Hi everyone, welcome to episode 10 of the Flaky Burnett and Brain podcast. We're here with Flaky Burnett.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. I'm Christy.
And I'm Will the Brain.
So we have to start tonight's show off by apologizing for missing the last two Monday and Friday. Mm-hmm. Last two shows, we didn't do them because we got married.
Got married, woo!
Last Friday. And if you've been following along on our Periscopes and our Twitter feeds, you'll know that we were in Washington, D.C. for a honeymoon. Mm-hmm. I mean, really? Did you guys expect anything else from us?
Met through politics, so it works.
Yeah, definitely. We had a wonderful time on our honeymoon, and we hope you guys, if you haven't seen any of our Periscopes, we got into some interesting mischief while we were up there. Mm-hmm. So definitely check those out. But again, I'm sorry, but now we are back to our regular scheduled programming. I just have a different last name.
This is very true. So now it's shout-out time.
Shout-out time! We find different patriots that have supported us, and that not only that, but they're doing an amazing job at making America great again and getting the word out. These are just people that we want to recognize because we highly respect them.
Right, so this guy actually lives in the swamp in D.C. His name is Scott Torellis. Hopefully I pronounced that right.
See, I made him do it because I figured I would butcher it, as I always do with last names.
So why are we giving him a shout-out?
Well, Scott works really hard and tirelessly every day. You know, he's helping to drain the swamp a little bit each day, and he is definitely persistent. He's a really great patriot, and he has a really great understanding of the issues. He's also a Christian, which is something that, you know, we highly respect because we're Christians, too. And he just always puts the truth out there. He just tells it like it is.
Right. We were actually going to meet with him in D.C., but
It didn't work out.
We were going to go to CPAC all together.
We'll have to catch him on next time around.
Definitely.
But be sure to follow him. His handle is at TorrellAssCott. Say it again.
At TorrellAssCott. That's at Torellis Scott.
Yeah, be sure to give him a follow, folks. You're not going to regret it. You know, he's always spot on with all the information that he has.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we quite enjoy his tweets.
Yes, we do. And I have to say, I got another email yesterday from one of my followers. Mm-hmm. And he has been suspended again.
Oh, gosh.
You remember Texas Army Chris that got suspended for posting Glinda the Good Witch?
That was terrible.
Oh, my gosh. And I found out, I said it was for 7 hours. It was actually, I found out, for 7 days. Ooh. He got suspended for that.
Yeah, don't talk bad about the left.
But he's been suspended again because he went after Chelsea Handler.
Oh, gosh.
Well, I go after her on a daily basis, so I don't know why I haven't been suspended yet. But he did. He sent me the email of his tweet, and it said, "I'm sure I will be suspended for this, but your little blue check mark, liberal Hollywood elites can say whatever they want and not get a damn thing done to them. I call out at Chelsea Handler a vile sack of crap." Because she is. Yeah, yeah. I get suspended for 7 days. You are fascist hypocrites.
It's true. He must have somebody that just follows him around that really doesn't like him, that keeps reporting all of his tweets.
Yeah, and I find that a lot. And I've been hearing about, and I know, bear with me, I'm kind of slow to Twitter, so don't think I'm too old. I'm just, you know, I'm flaky. So, but I was looking, and I think a lot of these people, they put us on lists, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, these are the lists that I'm currently on. KKK lovers, mm-hmm. IQ of turd, mm. Nazi, mm-hmm. A few of these are good, bot, ignorant Trump morons,
that's a good one.
Extreme retards, ooh. Mega cult retards, mm. Can't be this dumb, comments on imperialism, fake accounts, mm. Mouth breathers, shit for brains, mm. Really effing stupid,
that's creative,
dumbest person on the planet. Nazi and Putin's trolls. And it just goes on and on.
You got on a lot more lists since the last time.
Yeah. But so, you know, he's been suspended again for 7 days for just voicing an opinion. And, you know, me being me, I had to go look on Miss Chelsea Handler's page.
Naturally.
So these are some of the tweets that I found just on her page, just from clearing through it.
Yeah, we have one that says, this presidency doesn't seem to be working out.
And then another one that says, Hope Hicks reportedly kept a detailed diary about her time in the White House, so this will be a second time a woman wrote a diary about Nazis. Hmm. Really? Like, that's such, like, an old statement, too. No. You know, like, Trump is clearly not a Nazi. And of course, there is that meme that says, Democrats who stay home elect Republicans. Mm-hmm. And this is what she said talking about Ben Carson.
She said, this idiot seems to be surprised about a lot of things, like his job, anything to do with housing and there being development.
Right. And then my favorite one that I saw was, these three female veterans are running for Congress, and I support all three of these badasses. This November is time to make history with the number of women we elect.
So we've got Elaine, Luria, looks like Mackay or Mickey, Cheryl, and Amy McGrath.
Right, and of course they're all Democrats.
Of course.
And here's the thing that really irks me about this particular tweet. You know, y'all have heard me harp on it before. You don't elect somebody just because of their gender. I don't understand. This is an example of how third wave feminism has gotten completely out of hand. Who cares what they stand for? They're just women. We just want to elect women to office because it doesn't matter where they stand on the important issues, you know, immigration, tax, healthcare, you know, war, right. What their foreign policies are.
Just that they're a woman.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all it takes.
Yeah. And I just think that's, you know, she has this great big platform and people just blindly follow her along. I got called out today because, well, on another tweet, I had said she's a complete idiot and somebody had wrote, well, that's just your opinion of her. And then I went on to say, okay, well, this is a woman whose entire platform is guided by CNN, which makes it completely laughable. And if you really want to, you know, stand up for somebody that wanted Hillary in office simply because she was a woman, then, you know, okay, that's on you there, buddy.
Exactly.
So do be sure, while he is in suspension, though, when he gets out, be sure to give him a follow at Texas Army Chris on Twitter. He's got a new title, which is King Russian Bot Chris. But again, that's Texas Army Chris. Give him a follow for us. He's a good buddy of ours.
Yeah, definitely. So next on the agenda, let's talk about CPAC, which is the Conservative Political Action Conference.
Yes, and they had a lot of great speakers.
Yes, such as
Nigel Farage,
Charlie Kirk,
Sheriff David Clark Jr.,
Dana Loesch, the head of the NRA, or the spokesperson of the NRA,
Sean Hannity,
Laura Ingraham,
and Ted Cruz,
and Rick Harrison, which I thought was cool. I love Pawn Stars. Now I have a newfound respect for it. And of course, you know, we had Mike Pence and several other, you know, obviously big name conservatives.
Yeah, it would have been really cool to see up close and personal, but we do have a neat story about the after party, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's something that they hold annually, so I think definitely if you can make it out, there's some people all over the country there. You know, they got up at, like, 5:30 in the morning to, like, wait in line, and it was definitely something that we all really need to start doing as conservatives. We need to get out there. Like, it's time to stop being afraid, because we're about to hit ahead with all of this. And, you know, even when we were in Washington, when we wore our Trump hats around, by the way, you know, people would very quietly come up and tell us, hey, good job, I like your hats.
It's like people are afraid to do it themselves. It's, you know, we all need to come together and stop being afraid.
Exactly. And it's coming from, you know, the very top officials all the way down to, like, I don't know, Milo Yiannopoulos, which we'll talk about later, too. Mm-hmm. President Trump had an amazing speech. If you haven't heard it, so definitely go back and listen to it.
We do have a clip from that speech that's very empowering towards us and as far as Republicans and conservatives. So let's take a listen.
I just want to tell you that we are going to win. I'd love you to get out there, work really hard for 18. We need more Republicans to keep the tax cuts, to keep all of this going. And I love you. I respect you. I appreciate everything you've done for the country.
We are going to win. Mm-hmm. Absolutely we are. And I think it's very inspiring for Trump to be so confident about it. But it's not confidence that it's just arrogance. You know, it's like we have to get out there and work. And I would encourage everybody that is not registered to vote, y'all, you have to get there. You have to get all your IDs and everything in order. If you want to know what your state requires, go to vote.gov online. It's really, really important that everybody gets out there and hits the polls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely important to get out to the polls and vote Republicans, because Democrats, just all they want to do is destroy the country. That's pretty much it. So if we get more Democrat elected officials, they're just going to keep pushing away Republican bills and try to
take away our rights.
Take away our rights and just take over, pretty much.
Exactly. Of course, Trump's speech was also met with some criticism.
Of course.
I actually found an NBC article this time, not CNN. I know you're shocked. Just trying to nitpick at Trump's speech, like they always try to do. Yeah. One of the first things they said was that he hasn't kept any of his promises.
No, naturally.
Which I found quite laughable. Tax reform, anyone?
Right. And then you've got trade promises.
Right. He pulled us out from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and then he reopened the North American Free Trade Agreement.
He's also stuck to his promises as far as immigration.
Right, with, like, the travel ban. And he's currently in talks to make a deal that could actually help with building the wall.
And he's, you know, helping out as far as healthcare.
Right. He took away the Obama mandate that you had to pay for it.
Which was ridiculous.
He's also winning against ISIS right now, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. And then Trump also went on to say that a gun adept teacher would have shot the hell out of the Parkland shooter. And, of course, NBC just says it's possible a teacher with firearms training would have been able to stop the Parkland shooter.
Right. They were saying that, you know, it's just a maybe. You know, of course, if the teacher would have been armed, it would have helped stop the shooter quicker. More lives would have been saved. And that whole thing, by the way, is getting a little bit fishy.
Mm-hmm. Everything about it.
Just how, like, you know, they were told to stand down before they, you know, the first responders were told to stand down and, like, secure the perimeter and all this kind of stuff. I don't know. I mean, it's obviously a horrific thing that happened, but the more information that we're getting about it, it seems just really weird.
Yeah, definitely weird. We'll go into a little bit more of that later on.
Yeah.
But yeah, so speaking of CPAC, and we mentioned earlier that we were trying to go with Scott.
Right.
And, you know, it kind of fell through, and so we didn't get to meet up, and we didn't get to go to CPAC. So, you know, it actually, this completely came upon us by surprise. We had no...
It was funny because I was looking on Facebook because I was trying to see if there's any more protests in Washington because we went to several, and I saw Antifa was going to be outside this secret location yet to be announced of the Night for Freedom event.
Right, and if you're not familiar with the Night for Freedom event is basically like a kind of a social gathering for conservatives.
It's really a who's who, you guys.
Right, and they had the first one, I can't exactly recall where they had it, but they had it at pretty much, it was like this bar type deal, and that's the one where Chelsea Manning, or what, Bradley Manning, whatever his name is, kind of crashed the party, and Antifa was outside, and someone got hurt too, so they had to basically, you know, keep the location hidden.
And they were serious about it, too.
Yeah.
But I was like, hey, maybe we should go to this because, you know, when else am I going to get a chance to be around Antifa? And I wanted to see, you know, I would love some great footage. Like, what a great story.
Right. And so they were having, it was going to be, like, hosted by Mike Cernovich, and Jack Posobiec was going to be there. Milo was the special guest speaker. We were just like, how cool would that be if we could be able to go? So, you know, I found the event, A Night for Freedom, and it was on this event website.
And this was like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 o'clock, the day of the event.
Day of the event. The event started at, what, like
6? 6:30. It got pushed back because of Antifa. Yeah. But.
So I just, you know, on a whim, just contacted the guy, the host of the event, and said, you know, hey, look, we're on our honeymoon. This would mean, I know it's like last minute, this would mean a ton if we could be able to come to this, you know, get together and meet, you know, all of these big name people that we just love and, you know, be around like-minded conservatives. And, you know, didn't think anything of it. Then I get an email back and basically said, yeah, we can get you 2 tickets. So, you know, of course, we're both freaking out.
Yeah, because he said he had to pay in cash. And I was like, okay, is this even real? Yeah. And I'm like, I have nothing to wear to this kind of event. You know, all I have is, you know, this dress I wore for our honeymoon. Everything else is like jeans. And I'm just like, okay, this is like, you know, this man, I believe his name was James, right?
Yeah.
He was very patient because I made Will ask like a dozen questions. Like, is this okay? Would this be okay to wear?
Like dress code and things like that. And I'm sure he was getting annoyed, but he didn't show it. And, you know, he finally, he was like, yeah, I'll text you the location at, like, 5 and just meet us there at the door. And
yeah, we'll... he was like, well, it's next to the Warner Theater, and what if the third gold door on the right will be open?
Yeah, and so even
though... we don't know our way around Washington, of course, but yeah. It was, like, a mile away from our hotel. We were staying in DuPont Circle.
Even up to that point, we were both kind of like, you know, it's... I don't know. Is this like a scam? Is he going to take the money and run? But, you know, we get there.
Well, first of all, we get there, and what cues us off that we are close to it, we actually see Antifa.
Yeah, Antifa, crowd of like 20 or 30.
Yeah, and they like ran away. Because I was literally going to Paris. I was like, oh my gosh, there's Antifa. And then they run away.
Yeah.
Because they kept circling the building because they didn't know.
They couldn't find it. And, but no, the coolest part had to be though. We finally get in the doors, and we're waiting for the guy that's supposed to get us in.
We're waiting for James because they have security set up.
Security set up. They're not letting anybody pass unless you know either somebody that
you have like a ticket or like something,
or someone to escort you in.
All right. Meanwhile, Antifa's outside, and the police are there.
So then in walks Jack Posobiec, just right here, and he's like, you know. Taking out or taking on Antifa, and he's trying to. He said like there were
Antifa
coming in the parking garage. I'm just like, holy crap! It's
and
Jack.
They're trying to quietly take pictures because we discovered something about each other. I am very bold and will run headlong into a protest or Antifa, but when it comes to people that I highly respect, I will hide in the corner.
Oh yeah,
and be like, oh my god, no, don't talk to him. While Will is very much like. Okay, I'm going to go talk to him. I'm like, wait, no, go talk to him.
Well, yeah. Yeah, like, she will go headlong into events that could be potentially life-threatening.
Just dangerous.
But if it's reputation-threatening, she doesn't want any part of it.
I'm shy. Really, I am.
Like, life or, you know, staying alive or being embarrassed, let's weigh the...
Well, because what if they said, like, I mean, I can take a lot of criticism from, like, everybody, but, like, if, you know... Mike Cernovich, for instance, says, Flaky Burnett sucks. I would be like, oh my god.
Clearly, Flaky Burnett's awesome.
But anyway, go ahead and your story.
Yeah, so we're sitting there. Jack Posobiec walks by. You know, there's some people that keep funneling in every now and then. And everybody that comes in, I'm looking at them like, I'm trying to figure out, like, have I seen you before? And then here comes Mike Cernovich coming in with his, I guess,
he just came out and started shaking people's hands.
Shaking people's hands. I'm like... Oh my god, it's Mike Cernovich right here. It's like seeing all these celebrities and getting like overload of like fanboyism. And you know, we're still sitting there. You're at this point, you're like, okay, he's definitely not coming. We, you know,
there's no
go.
Way. At least we saw Antifa and we saw these two people. You know, it was raining that night, so we had our yellow umbrella.
Yeah, and so then this guy comes out and I'm like, I think that's him. And he comes out and just walks past us, and he's like, I'm looking for this girl with yellow umbrella and whatnot. And I'm like, hey, we're right here. And he's like, okay, come with me. So we follow him, and we're just in the crowd of people. There's a long line down the steps, and he's like, let me get your armband. And we're just like, oh, my God, I can't believe this is actually happening. So we pay him the cash, and he takes us to the front of the line.
He actually walked us past the front of the line.
And he was, like, the guy that actually set up the event with Mike Cernovich. Mm-hmm. And I think he was, like, one of the band.
Yeah, he was, like, the DJ. He was, like, a marketing guy,
marketing
him and his
DJ.
Twin brother, yeah.
Yeah, and so we just go down there, and it's pretty much everyone's just kind of... hanging out until the speech goes on, and...
It's like a big dinner party, you know, they have, you know, hors d'oeuvres, you know, people, waiters walking around, and all the food was really good, and they give you, like, 3 free drink tickets, and, you know, everybody that's there, it's only a crowd of 250 people, so it's a really, all these people that we respect, it's really easy to talk to, right. You know. Luckily, he had the courage to go up and talk to them, whereas I was a little more starstruck, but, you know, a lot of the other people that were there, they had been at CPAC, and they were all writers and journalists, and it was really
like
interesting.
People from The Hill, and... Yeah. You know, all these different kinds
just
of
just from all over the country. It was really interesting.
And that there were just so many people there that, you know, I feel like I've seen them on Twitter before, but I can't place their name. And I feel like...
The guy from The Persistence. He was there.
Scott Pressler.
Yeah.
Scott Pressler was there. And then, you know, And then Laura Loomer comes in.
Who was very shy.
She was shy and standoffish, which is odd because, you know, she's very, like, in your face when she goes to these, you know, when she's doing journalism and reporting. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'd heard something, like, something happened to, like, her tires.
Yeah, her tires got slashed.
I mean, maybe she was kind of faced with that. But she took a picture with us. We took a picture with Mike Cernovich.
I got to shake Jack Persevic's hand. He was so nice. Yeah. I was like, oh, my God, I retweet you every day.
And then he
was like, thank you so much. And I was like, you're welcome. I'm like, ah.
And so then.
And they all spoke. And they had, like, several different speakers. And I'll just tell you, this room, I felt really bad. But it was hot. It was so hot. The air conditioner was not working. We had a really nice place. It was just like the air conditioner was not working. So we're all crowded in. And, you know, we have all these great speakers, you know, that are all very inspiring. And then Mike's like, oh, you know, Milo's around here somewhere.
God. And then we're looking around like.
You know, we all start chanting, Milo, Milo. And then, you know, we're all sort of, you know, I'm short. I'm like 5 foot nothing.
Yeah. See, the good thing was, you know, where we were standing, from the beginning, we tried to stand kind of near where we thought they were speaking, and then it ended up being, like, a different section. So, you know, she didn't realize it, but I kept trying to inch us a little closer and closer and push through people, and she wasn't really
happy. Well, because I'm used to pushing through. I get away with stuff because I am cute and short, and so I can kind of inch my way up. But see, I need to learn how to inch both of us up, you know, without people getting upset.
So I just happened to push us to, like, a corner of where just happened to be where Milo was coming in.
It was, yeah, they were all chanting, the room goes silent, and then everybody turns around, and he's literally right behind us.
She didn't even have time to take a picture.
I didn't, literally, there he was with his, you know, like, mirrored sunglasses on, and his little smirk, and he just zooms right past us.
Bumped into me, just bumped into my shoulder, I was like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
I have never been around somebody that has that much charisma in my life. It is electrifying. If I could be, you know, even half as charismatic as he is, I would be doing so good. And if I could be just as half as smart as he is, I would be doing great. But, oh my gosh, he was fabulous! He, like, worth every penny! Worth every penny! Hands down!
Right, and his speech, he was only, like, 10 feet away from us.
Literally, if that.
And
We weren't allowed to live stream, or else we would have, or would have done it, like, the entire night.
You know that she would be live streaming the entire time.
Like, oh my god, it's Milo. And he had this really inspiring speech. We do have a couple clips from it. Now, keep in mind that this is just off of our phones, so we weren't. Yeah. They said no live streaming. They didn't say anything about recording it on your phone.
So it might be kind of choppy a little bit. That's just because
Yeah, the quality may not be as well, but understand that, you know, we were so close.
We were so close. And so let's take a listen.
Thank you for the glorious misdirection. Heard this evening, those poor dogs. They've been to Maryland. They come back, they went to the Trump Hotel. And finally, after their odyssey, a journey worthy of a Homeric epic, those poor, filthy little bastards eventually showed up. Well,
yeah, so just to let you guys know, what he's talking about is Antifa and how basically Mike Cernovich and his, you know, the people that set this up, how they pretty much tricked Antifa into going to several different places and threw them off of where we were going to be.
Right. And, you know, one of the places was, you know, Trump Hotel, which, by the way, we stumbled upon while we were in D.C.
And got to get a free drink, which was very nice.
Because it was our honeymoon. Yeah. We were all sort of, you know, again, he was all like, let's go in. And I was like, well, I don't know that we're allowed to go in, you know, even though we're wearing our Trump hats. Doormen were so nice. They told us to bring them a Trump hat. Mm-hmm. And it is beautiful. You know, it's just like D.C. is like such a quick, fast city. You know, everything's going on 100 miles an hour. And you walk into, you know, Trump Hotel, and it's just like they have this classical music playing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really, you know, beautiful inside, crystal chandeliers, gold everywhere, a huge bar. A point that I thought was pretty interesting was on the left side they had CNN playing on the bar, and then on the right side they had Fox News.
Right. So, that was interesting. Love Trump Hotel. We're going to have to stay there at some point.
Yeah, maybe once the Flaky Brunette takes off and we make a lot of money. Yes. It's like $600 a night there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but it would be worth it completely. But anyway, back to the Night of Freedom. Milo goes on to talk about honor.
Let's take a listen.
We can have our own movies and TV shows and books and newspapers if we want them. All we have to do is celebrate and defend our heroes. Celebrate and defend the honorable people among us. You don't have to agree with everything that everybody says. All you have to agree is that we are all basically pushing in the same direction, and we are all worthy of a voice and a platform and of our dignity and of our honor.
Oh yeah!
And he's right. I mean, everyone deserves their own platform. This is, like, what we have here.
Right, exactly. And I think it's worth to mention that, you know, we all don't have to agree mm-hmm. on every single little thing. You know, we're all on the same side. We all, you know, as conservatives, we all want what is best for America. Of course, we may differ on some of the issues to an extent. That doesn't mean that we should, you know, suddenly start attacking one another.
Right. And, you know, I mean, just more about the Night for Freedom. That was just such a... such a blessing to be a part of.
And it was amazing.
It's a great honeymoon present.
Absolutely. One last final mention about Milo. At the very end, he has said something along the lines of, you know, we have to keep going. We have to keep fighting, even when we're tired, even when, you know, we're really stressed, even in like the darkest times, we have to keep going. And I think that is something that we all have to hold on to. It was very inspiring. You know, to hear something like that coming from somebody who, you know, we do consider a hero and who we do respect so, so highly. And that is something that we have to do. Like, I mean, I know we say it every time that we're on here, but, you know, it shouldn't be just us. Like when Trump came to Greensboro, it shouldn't be just, you know, a handful of us out there wearing our MAGA hats versus, you know, 20 or 30 protesters. Where are you, conservatives? Speak up. We have to speak up. Do your part. Even if it's just a little bit. Even if it's just a little thing. Tweet something. You know, call your representative. They're very nice. We went and talked to quite a few representatives while we were there. We wandered all around. What was it? The Russell building?
The Russell Senate office.
Yeah. Building. We wandered all through there. And there was even one lady that had, one senator that had, you know, 21,000 people are going to, you know, stand to get deported. She was talking about DACA. So we went in there and we talked to them a little bit.
Asked them, like, why does she feel this way?
Yeah, like, why it was not the 1.8 million, mm-hmm. you know, people that Trump cleared the path for citizenship not enough?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I agree. And it's... it's something that we've actually thought about, too. Like, at some point, we were considering doing, like, a what we call, like, a red hat rally, you know, somewhere just around the city or, you know, places we go and try to get, you know, conservatives together. And to, because, as you know, wearing that Make America Great Again hat brings very polarized results. You might get some people, like you said earlier, where they'll kind of whisper to you, like, I love your hat, because they're, you know, they don't want anybody else to know. But then you'll get the other people that are like, F Trump, and, you know, you're
an effing racist.
Yeah, you know, some lady walked by us and said that.
Stupid
in
little
Washington.
Angry feminist.
Yeah. So it's, and people are afraid to wear it because they're afraid of, like, the violent outburst, unpredictable outbursts of the left. And, you know, if we could all come together, wear the hat, you know, show that we come, you know, in full force, you know, we might be able to make a difference.
Yeah, and it would be just like a rally. It would be something very positive, and it's something that we need to get with some of our people on and see if we can, you know, make that happen. If you guys have interest in it, make sure you send a message to flakybrunette@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Let us know if you have any ideas or if you want to be a part of it.
Right.
Still something very early in the works.
Yeah, so just we're in talking.
Yeah. One other quick little story I want to talk about while we were in Washington. I was denied entrance to the Senate Gallery.
Oh, yes.
I had my shirt on that you got me for my birthday that said, "Is that true? Did you hear it on CNN?" Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had gone into the House of Representatives, and I did a Periscope about it. So if you've heard this before, I'm sorry, but there's... I'm sure some people who haven't. And but I got into the House of Representatives easily. And let me tell you, that room is way smaller than it looks on TV.
Yeah, the House chamber, where basically they discuss laws and, of course, the State of the Union. So, and yeah, it is a lot smaller than they show it on TV.
But it's beautiful, and it's so cool to be in there, you guys. It's free. If you guys go to D.C., you know, all you have to do is get your passes from your local representative, and it's easy to do.
And the representative is right across the street from the Capitol
building. Yeah, literally. But anyway, so we're walking around. I don't even have my Trump hat on that day. That's all I had on was that CNN shirt. And so we get to the Senate gallery. You know, you have to check all your stuff, and this one little old lady comes and says, yeah, you're going to have to turn your shirt inside out. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what, why? And she's like, well, because you're not allowed to make any political statements. And I was like, but I'm just making a sarcastic remark to a news organization. And she was like, no, you can't do it. And I said, fine, I won't go in then. And I didn't go in. And the thing that is astounding to me is that the check-in people were fine with it. She just stopped me because she didn't like my shirt. I was not making any political statement at all that day.
She was clearly biased.
Clearly, she was biased. And we went and talked to several people about it. The Senate scheduler person was not very nice. But the sergeant at arms did call me back, and he assured me that I was not being singled out. And that they have different rules in the Senate than they do in the House of Representatives. So I will let you guys, you know, if you believe that or not, I will tell you about the next day where your Make America Great Again shirt and our Trump 2020 shirts, that day I was making a political statement.
Yeah.
So much so the security guard said, you guys are brave.
Yeah. He pulled us aside. I was like, oh, God.
We're not even going to be able to get in.
Not even going to be able to get in. And he's like, you guys are real brave. Yeah.
And it is. It takes a lot of balls to wear Trump gear around Washington.
Oh, yeah.
It's not easy. Do you get glared? One lady even said, I've never seen that before.
Yeah. And they just stare at you, like, not even hiding it. It's like they'll walk by as they're staring at you and then make their comments as they walk away. And it's like, you know, eventually we just started saying, we're going to start saying hi to people and, you know, hey, take a picture or...
Yeah, we did. I eventually just started saying, hi, how are you?
And like, or just stare back.
Yeah, it's stupid. Like, if you're going to stare at me, at least, you know, say something to me. We did get into a couple of debates while we were there, which was pretty interesting. I think we're going to make a YouTube video, a compilation video of, we did some interviews and some different things in Washington, so be on the lookout for that.
Yeah, we still had to piece that together. It was done with a camcorder rather than the phone. So
right.
It's going to take just a little bit to edit, so.
Great. So, let's move on to this little twerp that's in the news.
Oh, yeah.
I believe his name is David Hogg, and I know all you know about him. I don't know if you saw a Periscope earlier, but we challenged him. Mm-hmm. Well, welcomed him, really.
Right. To a debate.
To a debate on our show, and it was retweeted over lots of times. And there's still no word from Mr. David Hogg.
Of course.
Of course, we got attacked for saying, oh, how can you be a bully to a kid? Well, no.
No, he's... You know, when you become a political activist, especially about something as, you know, polarizing as guns and the Second Amendment, then you're not really, I mean, like Alex Jones says, you're not immune to criticism. And in this case, it's really not even criticism, even though I do have my own, you know, thoughts against him. This is simply an open welcome to a debate, you know.
Yeah, and we still totally welcome him to a debate. It would be a very fair, civil platform. So we, again, David Hogg, come on our show. We're not, you know, we're not Alex Jones. We've never said anything bad about previous mass shooting survivors or anything like that. We meet your criteria, and I would like you to come on the show. We could Skype you in and debate with us. You know, prove that CNN isn't writing what you're saying.
Because some of his interviews definitely sound very scripted.
Yeah. Absolutely. And he wants to talk about, you know, free speech. Well, let's just see what the First Amendment says, shall we? It says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Mm-hmm. So first of all, by you attacking the NRA, what you're doing, and he keeps saying that they're lying and having all this, you know, propaganda being out, and he's wrong.
Right. I think we even have a clip of him saying that. Yes. Let's just take a listen really quick.
In addition to that bill, David, you've been calling for companies to boycott the NRA. You've backed calls for Amazon, other streaming services to no longer carry NRA TV. What do you say to your critics who say that by attacking that, you're attacking free speech? And doesn't the NRA have a right to broadcast those views?
The NRA does have a right to broadcast those views, but they don't have a right to send out false lies to their supporters, honestly. It's the fact The thing that makes me the most mad is that they allowed this propaganda to continue, and they're able to continue to lie to their supporters at the NRA, like Dana, the spokeswoman. She's not really working for the people of the NRA. She's working for the gun lobby. And I understand that there are critics out there that say that we need to have freedom of speech. I agree. It's just the fact that these companies are supporting them. That's why we're boycotting them. They can carry their messages elsewhere on their own website.
When you say lies, what are you referring to?
Well, when I say lie, I'm referring to some of the propaganda that they're putting out there saying that we need to be afraid. You need to go out and buy more guns, because that's what Dana at the NRA is pushing. She wants people to go out and buy more guns so that the NRA can continue to be supported by the gun lobby, where we create this positive feedback loop where people they essentially are trying to tell people that they need to be afraid. And I don't agree with that. I don't think the majority of Americans agree with that.
Right. Well, you don't speak for the majority of Americans. And it's not... It's not very wrong for the NRA to say that, you know, we should be afraid, because the left has tried tirelessly to take away our guns. Whether, you know, it's, they say, oh, well, we just want to get rid of, quote, assault weapons, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. We're not trying to take all of your guns. Well, they are. It's just not politically, you know, it's not... It would ruin their political career to say, yes, we want to take all guns. But that's all they want to do. That's literally all they want to do. They've got a bill. Democrats have a bill out now trying to ban all semi-automatic guns. Because, you know, the left calls semi-automatic what they think is automatic. It goes da-da-da-da-da when, you know, more you hold down the trigger and it just keeps going.
Right.
That's an automatic. That's not a semi-automatic. Semi-automatic is every time you pull the trigger, it's one shot, one shot, one shot, one shot. Democrats know this, but they're exploiting it. So in the bill, it says ban all semi-automatic guns. Well, that's every gun. That's handguns, that's rifles, that's, you know, bolt action, that's everything.
See, they think they're trying to be clever by trying to change language and that nobody will do any research on it, because they think the American people are stupid.
Right.
I got news for them. We're not stupid.
And this is why we know that we should have that fear of the left taking our guns. And, you know, they try to say, well, you know, nobody needs an assault rifle, what they call an assault rifle. Nobody needs an AR-15 for hunting or anything like that.
And he even tried to say that some of the shooting ranges, or not some, but these shooting ranges don't allow you just shoot an AR-15, which is not true, because we've shot an AR-15 at a shooting range before. It's true, some of the gun ranges don't allow them, but some of them do, so you can't say every gun range doesn't allow it.
Yeah, we've shot it at several gun ranges. The only ones that don't allow it are just the ones that don't have the proper, like, backing on the wall to, you know, to absorb the impact of that kind of bullet.
But, right, it's not because they're scared of it, or they think it's a weapon of mass destruction, as he likes to say.
And, you know, the Second Amendment doesn't, it's not just for, you know, the right to hunt or protect yourself. It's a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So it's basically the right for the people to own the same type of weaponry that their government owns. And so technically, you know, if the government owns rocket launchers, we should be able to own rocket launchers.
The Second Amendment is in place so that in case the government gets out of line, we the people can do something about it. Of course, no one wants to see it come to that.
Right. It's because if you take the guns away, then the government can do whatever they want and know that nobody can fight back.
Exactly. And that's what the Democrats want.
Right.
They want us, and they're using these kids as pawns in this really twisted game that they're playing. They're literally talking these kids into giving away their rights freely without even realizing it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that last clip with, you know, David Hogg, the whole thing, it sounds scripted. And even the video, he's clearly standing at a green screen. He's not standing at the high school.
There's a lot, you know, maybe he is that smart and maybe he is just that good at public speaking. But it really, really, you can tell we're unscripted. Yeah, there's some things that we read, you know, but clearly, you know, as I'm talking to you right now, I don't have, you know, a teleprompter in front of me. You know, you can tell that he's, like, completely scripted. They even had that one they even showed a picture of an email from CNN that they were holding.
Yeah, where CNN said, CNN does not field questions or scripts to anybody at interviews. And then there's someone holding an email, holding a printout of an email that says, titled, "Your Question." So, like, they are fielding the questions.
Yeah, they're totally fielding the questions.
And then, like, David Hogg's sitting there stammering while he's trying to talk, but he's saying it in a way like he's squinting to read the lines. Like, we will not take this lightly. Like, yeah, of course you're reading a script. Like, just don't treat us like we're stupid.
And some of the bills that he was talking about, whereas Trump's proposed ban on bump stocks, and then the Fix NICS Act, which basically makes agencies report if anybody has any criminal background, because a lot of companies were not reporting that. So I really think Trump has been really quite fair. Again, being a businessman, working with both sides to come to an agreeable conclusion.
Right. And that's, I mean, one thing, too, I mean, these people don't realize that even if you ban this stuff, there's, like, 3D printing now. You can 3D print a gun at this point. You can 3D print a bump stock if you wanted to and put it on a gun. So banning it and...
I mean, banning things, clearly, it doesn't work. It didn't work on alcohol. It hasn't worked on drugs. That's not the solution. Solution is either getting school marshals or arming teachers.
Yeah, which we talked about in our last
podcast. Right, exactly.
And then David Hogg goes on to say that we should boycott the entire state of Florida until they pass gun control laws. Let's take a listen to that.
I think the most traction that we're really getting at this point is really political action from some of the students stepping up across the nation. And obviously economic action that we're taking against the state of Florida saying don't come here until reasonable gun legislation is passed.
Give me a break. Okay, that's the problem when you have somebody that doesn't know about the world trying to lead this movement. I give him props for speaking his mind and creating a movement, even though I don't agree with it. It is good to see kids taking an interest in political things, even though something, so horrible happened that pushed him towards it.
And assuming he is a kid.
But you can't say boycott the entire state of Florida. That's just... the notion is entirely ridiculous, and of course that's not going to happen.
Right.
I was looking through his Twitter feed the other day. That's also something that makes me sort of feel like he's being scripted by CNN, by what he says in interviews and by what he puts out on his Twitter page. He said, "When you can't make them see the light, make them feel the heat." Ronald Reagan. Now, I don't know if y'all know anything about Ronald Reagan, but he was an NRA member. Mm-hmm. So I think before he goes around trying to take away and give away our Second Amendment rights, I think maybe he needs to do a little research into the presidents. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing. They're blaming the wrong they're blaming the wrong organization. I understand that his dad is an ex-FBI agent, but the FBI failed those kids. The FBI is the one that got the kids killed, not the NRA.
Right. And now he's somehow gotten all these companies to bow down and lose their and drop their sponsorship, and
yeah,
like we've got Dick's Sporting Goods, which is also Field and Stream because they're owned by the same company. And that's where I got my AR-15 was Field and Stream. Now it's like I don't want to go there anymore. Not if they're gonna just bow down to him. And then what you've got?
First National Bank of Omaha, Delta.
Which Delta was interesting because they, the state of Georgia, where Delta is headquartered in Atlanta, as soon as Delta announced that, the state of Georgia pretty much dropped their tax breaks, so they'll owe more money. And then all of a sudden, Delta's like, "Hey, everyone, we do support the Second Amendment. Like, we want our money.
We care more about the money than the issues."
Yeah.
United Airlines, Avis, Hertz, and MetLife.
Right. And then, David Hogg's on there on it, pretty much calling out every company. "Hey, hey UPS, why are you still supporting the NRA? When are you dropping them? Hey, let's all boycott them until they drop NRA."
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And now they're trying to get Amazon for their NRA TV. And we called Amazon customer service yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Both of us.
Yeah. We did a Periscope about that, too. It was really quick, and it took, like, 30 seconds. And all you have to do is tell them that, we support NRA TV. We don't think that, it should be taken away just because of a few.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're definitely calling you guys, too. It takes, like, 30 seconds. Just call the number. It's 280-4331. And just let them know, you know, they shouldn't take NRA TV off. That's like a violation of freedom of speech.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is a call to action. Like we said, it's easy to do. It's something we need to let our voices be heard. And this is something simple, easy, and quick that you can do to actually make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, if these people don't want to watch the NRA TV, they don't have to. They don't even have to download it. If it is somehow downloaded on theirs, they can delete it. But, you know, the rest of us shouldn't have to suffer because of their misguided, you know, hatred towards this boogeyman NRA.
Yeah, exactly. The number again is 1-888-280-4331. We'll post that in the body, in the notes too. And if you guys do happen to do that, go ahead and email us again at flakybrunette@gmail.com. Let us know. We'll give you a shout out on the air.
Right. And then we'll, or tweet it to us as well.
Yes.
I'm at Laquatic, LIQUATIC.
And I'm at Christy. Okay, this is going to get a little confusing. So my name on Twitter right now is Christy Fagan, but my handle is Christy, at Christy Taylor, spelled CHRYSTITAYLOR.
Yeah, and if you do post like a video or something of you calling Amazon, we'll of course retweet it.
Yep.
And of course give you a shout out on the air.
Most definitely.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess that's our show today.
That's our show for tonight.
Be sure and check out our website, www.flakybrunette.com. It's the central hub for everything that we do, our blog posts, podcast. There's a link to Periscope videos there as well.
Also, there is a little donate button there if you just want to click it. It's a PayPal link. Of course, a donation is not required, but if you do feel like giving, you know, 50 cents or a dollar, if we all work together, we can do more podcasts and get more information out there and get the message out better. It does take a lot of time and energy and effort to do this. We enjoy doing it for y'all, though. It's not at all a requirement. We'll still be here even if you don't give anything.
Right.
One favor that we do ask, if y'all could just subscribe to flakybrunette.com, then you'll get all the notifications whenever we come out with any of our latest podcasts or blogs or anything like that. That helps us with the numbers. We do greatly appreciate that.
Right. And it's free.
And it's completely free. Yep. Right. And again, if you need to contact us on Twitter, I'm at Christy Taylor, spelled CHRYSTITAYLOR.
And I'm at Laquatic, LIQUATIC.
Yep.
And you can always reach us again at flakybrunette@gmail.com.
Absolutely.
And that's our show.
That's our show for tonight. Y'all have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.